I would say, though, one of the other aspects to this is the growing amount of regulation in notices. So we have seen traditionally cyber security laws, it really was more data breach laws. It was providing notice when PII was impacted. So you would get hit, you would go do your investigation, see if there's any consumer PII in it, and then report and send out notices to individuals and potentially AGs. Nowadays, there's a tremendous number of regulations requiring notices without consideration of consumer data, but just because of the cyber incident. And a lot of that followed after Colonial Pipeline, but we have the pipeline directives, OCC, FDIC, Federal Reserve Board pushed through changes to their safeguard rules and under the Gramm-Leach-Bailey Act to require notices. The SEC's doing that, and I know my colleagues here will speak to that one, but the Critical Infrastructure Act. But we're seeing this all kind of happen quickly. All these laws are being passed through in the last year or two, and they all require notices within 36 hours, 72 hours of identifying a cyber incident. And at that time, most companies don't have a grasp of how to actually address the issue. If you're in the middle of a ransomware attack, you haven't even decided if you're negotiating with the ransomer at that time, if you're paying a ransom. So that time period of reporting is really short, and all of a sudden, you're gonna have a regulator talking to you and calling you as you're trying to actually figure out what your incident response is really gonna be.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And we've seen companies who, when they do get hit with ransomware, they haven't been through a tabletop, they haven't, you know, developed the incident response plan. If they decide they want to pay the crypto, they don't even know where to acquire it, right? So there's a lot of things that go into preparing for those type of events. So I guess in terms of how in-house counsel should respond to a breach, can you talk a little bit about, like, what should their guiding principles be should they get hit with ransomware?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest things that an in-house counsel should be considering immediately off the bat is bringing in outside counsel, trying to do a forensic investigation under privilege, getting your IT team support. The other thing that often is forgotten is preservation of evidence. IT is gonna come in, there is an incident, their first thing they're gonna try to do is contain, eradicate, and recover, right? And so, their first instincts are not, let's preserve evidence. How is this forensic investigation gonna look? What data was accessed? So being mindful of that, I think a lot of in-house counsels need to understand that that aspect kind of is gonna fall on them and working with outside counsel to bring in someone to help focus on that. The second thing is, you know, the focus is on compliance. There's a ton of regulatory laws. There's a lot of notification laws. But in addition, trying to mitigate litigation risks. Each type of data breach, there is going to be litigation risk, whether it's class action consumer actions, or we're going towards, and again, you guys will talk more about the governance side of this, but with governance practices being required through the SEC or the New York DFS, what we're going to see is a lot more shareholder derivative suits for claims that the board failed to monitor the cybersecurity practices. So their in-house counsel has to navigate a lot of different moving pieces in trying to respond to a ransomware attack. And then on top of that, you got, if you are gonna end up negotiating and making payments, the OFAC sanctions. If you don't know, OFAC requires you to, or there's a number of countries, number of companies that are listed on OFAC sanctions list, and you can't provide money to those agencies and groups. And so making sure that you meet those requirements if you end up having to pay a sanction or pay a ransom.
Okay, awesome. So we've talked a little bit about general cybersecurity trends, right? The attackers are getting more and more complex. Cybersecurity technologies are evolving, and it's a constant cat and mouse game. So let's talk a little bit about how that's changing the regulator's role in pushing cybersecurity forward. So Chrissy, can you kind of give us a sense of the SEC's priorities when it comes to cybersecurity?
Sure. So there's kind of two buckets of SEC focus, at least from an enforcement perspective, when it comes to cybersecurity. The first is for issuers. If you're a public issuer, even before you have an incident, you're going to need to make sure your risk disclosures are adequate. If you experience some sort of cyber incident, then it's a disclosure issue for you, right? They're looking for timely, fulsome, accurate disclosure and updating that disclosure as you learn more about the incident. They'll also look back at your risk disclosures and make sure that historically those were accurate with respect to what you knew at the time that you made those disclosures. I think, you know, the business email compromise is an example of an area where internal accounting controls can be affected. And so, there's been a 21A report, which is not an actual case, but a report saying, hey, market, you need to be on notice about this. That relates to business email compromise. We haven't seen any charges for internal accounting controls yet, but I think we probably will in the future. That seems to be a focus for this administration. And then public issuers, the last thing they need to think about is insider trading, right? Like the IT department always knows about these things first and they often trade around them. So, you know, it's more of an individual liability issue there, but something for companies to think about. The second bucket is for SEC registrants. These are investment advisors, broker-dealers, and Reg SCI entities, which are like exchanges and market utilities. So for investment advisors and broker-dealers, they have a variety of obligations. There's Reg SP, which is the safeguards rule that requires them to have policies and procedures in place to protect customer records and information. Reg SID requires programs in place to deal with threats for identity theft. And then Reg SCI, like I said, it's for those more like market utility organizations that have obligations to have technological fixes and reporting obligations if they have incidents.